guys, I'm going to read part 2, The Return to Greece, King Aedes, chapter 1 of part 2. They had come into a country that was the strangest of all countries, and amongst a people that were strangest of all peoples. They were in the land, this people said, before the moon had come into the sky. And it was true that when the great king of Egypt had come so far, finding in all other places men living in high hills and eating the acorns that grew in the oaks there, he found the Colossus, the city of Ea, and a wall around it, and with pillars on which writings were carven. That was when Egypt was calling the morning land. And many of the magicians of Egypt had come with King Seotrus, stayed in that city of Ea, and they were taught people spells that could stay in the moon in her going and coming, in her rising and setting. Priests of the moon ruled the city of Ea until King Aedes came. Aedes had no heed of their magic, for Helios, the bright sun, was his father, as he thought. Also, Hephaestus, the artisan of the gods, was his friend, and Hephaestus made for him many wonderful things to be his protector. Medea, too, his wise daughter, knew secrets taught by those who could sway the moon. But Aedes once was made afraid by the dream that he had. He dreamt that a ship had come to Phases, and then sailing on a mist had rammed his palace and was standing there in all his strength and beauty until it had fallen down. On the morning of the light he had his dream, Aedes called Medea, his wise daughter, and he bade her go to the temple of Hecate, the moon, to search out spells that might destroy those who came against the city. That morning, the Argonauts, who passed the night in the backwater of the river, had two youths come to them. They were in a broken ship, and they had one oar only. When Jason, after giving them food and fresh garments, questioned them, he found out that these youths were of the city of Ea, and that they were none others than the sons of Phrixus, who had come there with a golden ram. And the youths, Phrontis and Melius, were as amazed as was Jason when they found out whose ship they had come aboard. For Jason was the grandson of Crethus, and Crethus was the brother of Athamas, and their grandfather. They had ventured from Ea, where they had been reared, thinking to reach the country of Athamas and lay claim to his possessions. But they had been wrecked at a place not far from the mouth of the Phases, and with great pain and struggle they had made their way back. They were fearful of Ea and of their uncle King Aedes, and they would gladly go with Jason and the Argonauts back to Greece. They would help Jason, and they said to persuade Aedes and give the golden fleece peaceably to them. Their mother was the daughter of Aedes. Chalciope, whom the king had given in marriage to Phrixus, his guest. A council of the Argonauts was held, and it was agreed that Jason should go with two comrades to King Aedes, Phrontis and Melius going also. They were there to ask the king to give them the golden fleece and offer him a recompense. Jason took Pelias and Telamon with him. As they came to the city, a mist fell, and Jason and his comrades with his son Zephrathus went through the city without being seen. They came before the palace of the king Gedes. Then Phrontis and Melias were some way behind. The mist lifted, and before the heroes was the wonder of the palace and the bright light of the morning. Vines of broad leaves and heavy clusters of fruit grew up, and under the vines were four fountains that Hephaestus had made for King Gedes. They gushed out into golden, silver, bronze, and iron basins, and one fountain gushed out clear water, and another gushed out milk, and another gushed out wine, and the other oil. On each side of the courtyard, where the place buildings in one King Gedes lived with his Acertus, his son, and in the other Chalciope and Medea lived with their handmaidens. Medea was passing from her father's house. The mist lifted suddenly, and she saw the three strangers in the place of the courtyard. One had a crimson mantle on. His shoulders were such as to make him seem like a man that a whole world could not overthrow. And his eyes had all the sun's light in them. Amazed, Medea stood looking upon Jason, wondering at his bright hair and gleaming eyes, and at the lightness and strength of the hand that he raised. And then a dove flew toward her. It was being chased by a hawk, and Medea saw the hawk's eyes and beak. As the dove lighted upon her shoulder, she threw her veil around it, and the hawk dashed itself against a column. And as Medea, trembling, leaned against a column, and she heard a cry from her sister who was within. For now Phrontis and Melias had come up, and Chalciope, who was spinning by the door, saw them and cried out. All the servants rushed up, seeing Chalciope's sons. They too uttered loud cries and made such a commotion that Acertus and King Gedes came out of the palace. Jason saw King Gedes. He was old and white, but he had great green eyes, and the strength of a leopard was in all he did. And Jason looked upon Acertus too. The son of Gedes looked like a Phoenician merchant, black of beard and with rings in his ears, with a look at the hooked nose and a gleam of copper in his face. Phrontis and Melias went from their mother's embrace and made reverence to King Gedes. Then they spoke of the heroes who were with them, Jason and his two comrades. Gedes made all enter to the palace. Baths were made ready for them, and a banquet was prepared. After the banquet, when they all sat together, Gedes, addressing the eldest of Chalciope's sons, said, "Son Zephrathus, of the man whom I honored above all men, who came into my halls, speak now and tell me how it is that you come back to be us so soon, and who they are, these men who come with you." Gedes, as he spoke, looked sharply upon Phrontis and Melias, for He suspected them of having returned to Ea, bringing these armed men with them with an evil intent. Ferontes looked at the king and said, "Aedes, our ship was driven upon the island of Ares, where it was almost broken upon the rocks. That was on a murky night, and in the morning the birds of Ares shot their sharp feathers upon us. We pulled away from that place, and thereafter we were driven by the winds back to the mouth of the Phases. There we met with these heroes who were friendly to us. Who they are that they have come to our city for, I shall tell you. A certain king longing to drive one of these heroes from his land was hoping that the race of Crethus might perish utterly, let him enter the a most perilous adventure. He came here upon a ship that was made by the command of Hera, the wife of Zeus, a ship more wonderful than mortals ever sailed in before. With him there came the mightiest of heroes of Greece. He is Jason, the grandson of Crethus, and he has come to beg you will grant him freely the famous fleece of gold that Phrythus brought to Ea. But not without recompense to you would he take the fleece. Already he has heard of your bitter foes at the Salmerati. And he, with his comrades, would subdue them for you. And if you would ask of the names and the lineage of the heroes who are with Jason, I shall tell you. This is Peleus and this is Telamon. They are brothers, and they are sons of Aeacus, who was the seed of Zeus. And all the others, all the other heroes who have come with them are the seed of the gods." So Phontus said, but the king was not pleacted by what he said. He thought that the sons of Chalciope had returned to Ea, bringing these warriors with them, so that they might wrest the kingship from him, or failing that, plunder the city. Aedes's heart was filled with wrath as he looked upon them, and his eyes shone as a leopard's eyes. "Begone from my sight," he said, "robbers that ye are, tricksters. You have not eaten at my table. If you had not eaten at my table, assuredly I would have your tongues cut out for speaking falsehoods about the blessed God, saying that this one and that of your companions was of their divine race." Telamon and Peleus strode forward with angry hearts. They would have laid their hands upon King Aedes, only Jason held them back. And then, speaking to the king in a quiet voice, Jason said, Bear with us, King Aedes, I pray you. We have no come with such evil intent as you think. It was the evil command of an evil king that sent me forth with these companions of mine across dangerous gulfs of the sea. And to face your wrath and armed men you can bring against us. We are ready to make great recompense for the friendliness you may show to us. We will subdue for you the Sarmatio, or any other people that you would lord it over. But Aedes was not made friendly by Jason's words. His heart was divided as whether he should summon his armed men and make them slain upon the spot, or whether he should put them into danger by the trial he would make of them. At last he thought that it would be better to put them in trial that he had on mind, slaying them afterward if needed be. And then he spoke to Jason, saying, "Strangers of Colossus, it may be true that my nephews have said. It may be that you are really of the seed of the immortals, and it may be that I shall give you the golden fleece to bear away after I have made trial of you." As he spoke, Medea, brought there by his messenger, so that she might observe the strangers, came into the chamber. She entered softly, and she stood away from her father and the four who were speaking with him. Jason looked upon her, and even although his mind was filled with the thought of bending King Aetes to his will, he saw that what manner of maiden she was, and what beauty, and what strength was hers. She had a dark face that was made very strange by her crown and of golden hair. Her eyes were like of her father's, were wide, full of light, and her lips were so full of red that made her mouth like an opening rose. But her brows were always knit, as if there was some secret anger within her. "With brave men I have no quarrel," said Aetes. "I will make trial of your bravery, and your bravery wins through the trial, and very sure that I will have the golden fleece to bring back in the triumph to Ilocos. But the trial that I will make of you is hard for our great hero, even. I know that on the plain of Ares, yonder, I have two fire-breathing bulls with feet of brass. These bulls were once conquered by me. I yoked them to a plow of adamant, and with them I plowed the field of Ares for four plow gates. Then I sowed the furrows, not with the seed that Demeter gives, but with the teeth of a dragon, and from the dragon's teeth that I sowed in the field of Ares, armed men sprang up. I slew them with my spear as they rose around to slay me. If you can accomplish this that I accomplished in days gone by, I shall submit to you and give you the golden fleece. But if you cannot accomplish that what I once accomplished, you shall go from my city empty-handed, for it is not right that a brave man should yield aught to one who cannot show himself as brave." So Aetes said, and then Jason, utterly confounded, cast his eyes upon the ground. He raised them to speak to the king, and as he did, he found the strange eyes of Medea upon him. With all the courage that was in him as he spoke, "I will dare this contest, monstrous as it is. I will face this doom. I have come far, and there is nothing else for me to do but to yoke your fire-breathing bulls to the plow of adamant, and plow the furrows in the field of Ares, and struggle with the earth-born men." And as he said this, he saw the eyes of Medea grow wide as with fear. Then Aetes said, "Go back to your ship and make ready for the trial." Jason, with Peleus and Telamon, left the chamber, and the king smiled grimly as he saw them go. Phrontis and Melias went to where their mother was, but Medea stayed, and Aetes looked upon her with greatly apart eyes. "My daughter, my wise Medea," he said, "go put spells upon the moon, that Hecate may weaken that man in his hour of trial." Medea turned away from her father's eyes and went to her chamber. So that was chapter 1 of part 2. King Aetes. Bye guys, see you later. See ya later, see ya later, see ya. See ya.
later. Bye, guys.